silent partner that arrives with one's first child. Every mother is acquainted. Worry. When one is young, one prays. When one becomes a mother, one burns the...
So I get to start off the intro to the Christmas series, and I'm thinking, how do I do this? And I know that nothing is going to say entering the Christmas spirit like beginning a discussion of muscle memory and reflexes, and it's exactly what we're going to do. Muscle memory, the idea of your body taking over when your mind gets confused or when things happen too quickly, and all of a sudden your body just reacts in a way that it was trained to do. If you were to go and take a karate class, one of the things they would show you over and over again, you would do this day after day, week after week for months, is just learning things, just how to block. If somebody comes up, an opponent against you, and they're going to attack you, and you will learn everything, and just the right way to do it, which part of your arm is going to take the blow, how are your fingers going to be, how is your leg going to be when you do this, and just over and over again, hoping that you're never going to have to use this, but knowing that if you have to, you will just know how to react in a split second. You won't have had to think about it hard because you've been thinking about it for all this time, and you're ready. But funny ways that our body reacts. You may have heard of stories about the men who were first test driving the Ford Model Ts when they were introduced onto the marketplace. And these were not men who had ever driven in a car before. They'd ridden horses their whole life. And they're going off muscle memory. And they're driving along in the car. And all of a sudden, it's time to stop. And you hear these stories recorded about them pulling back on the steering wheel and saying, whoa, guy. And these were the men. We make fun of women drivers. I don't know if I've ever heard of a lady doing that. Whoa. But it's just what they were trained to do. It was in their mind that was the way to stop. It's what they had done for so long, pulled back on a horse's reins, and it was just there in their mind. My mom, she does not like watching any type of a scary movie, even a suspenseful movie. And she's got a very entertaining way. She's more fun to watch than the movie. If you just watch what she's doing, and the moment somebody enters that house and the eerie music starts, and you know that there's somebody that's in that house, and at some point it's going to jump out and scare them, and she starts to crouch down immediately on the couch, in a perfectly safe room, but here she is, and I saw her one time actually, reach for the remote, mute it, and then proceed to cover her ears. And I said, Mom, you just muted the TV. Why are you covering your ears? But to her, that was just the thing to do. It's what she always does for years and years and years. Scary part comes on. And that's what happens. It's muscle memory right there. And I want to look at something called the Shema. Now, if you've ever heard of that, the Shema, there's the word right there. And this is really something that is practiced a lot by Jewish people, and it largely focuses around a passage in Deuteronomy that we're going to look at right here. But the Shema is something that they take extremely seriously. I mean, if you were to ask a Jewish person, like, well, what is one of the most important passages in the Bible to you? They would take you right here to this spot in Deuteronomy. In fact, it's a rite of passage for young boys before they can even partake in a bar mitzvah. They're going to recite this passage, and they're going to make sure that they have got full understanding of the meaning, that they've committed it to memory. Let's go ahead and see that first passage right there in Deuteronomy. Here it is right here. Such an important passage right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. Can you take the slide back up? I want to reread it in just a minute. But, you know, talk about preparing something for just a type of a muscle memory, just training your mind right there, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And go ahead and keep it on that slide. But these people will practice it in the morning. It's the first thing that they say. You know, they will recite this passage out loud. They say it before they go to sleep at night. They say it out loud. It's been put into song, and they can sing it. But this is at the forefront of their thoughts right here. When they wake up, the first thing that they're doing is they know, we shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And it's right there in their mind. And it's the idea that everything that they do that day is going to be funneled through the idea that God is there. And they belong to God, heart, mind, and soul. And every conversation that they have throughout that day, that is going to be funneled through that idea that God is there, that they are doing his work, that they are trying, you know, so hard to please God with everything that they have in their conversation, in their daily tasks that they are setting out to accomplish that day, and their hopes and dreams and ambitions and future aspirations. All of these things include God being there. The idea here is that God is never an afterthought. That God is right there at the front, at the foremost presence of their thoughts right there. And let me read this one more time. I'll read the whole thing this time. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. There's no forgetting these words. You shall love your God, all your heart, mind, and soul. And they will teach it to their children as well. That's a highly important part that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But again, everything that they're God says right there, you're going to sit in your house and you're going to have just a conversation just when you're sitting in the house, and that's what's going to be on your mind. You're going to walk down the street. That's what's going to be on your mind. Go out to get the mail. You're thinking about God. That is what is occupying your thought from the moment you get up, the moment you go to sleep. Because, as I said, God should never, ever, ever be an afterthought. But how easily can that happen? Now, if this is the course that you're taking, and you're saying this out loud in the morning, and you're saying it before you go to bed, it's occupying your thought throughout the day so easily. But I've certainly found myself in my share of situations, and you know, where a problem arises, and I take notice of it, but nothing else. Oh, I'll handle that. Day two, maybe it gets a little bit more severe. By day three and four, I'm in big panic about it. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? And I realize all these days have gone by. I've not even prayed about this problem yet. I've not even gone to God about it. It's been there. I've acknowledged it. I've known about it. And what on earth went through my mind that I didn't just think to do that right away? As soon as I saw that problem, oh, I'm praying about this, before it grew. And it happens. It happens. These things will sneak in. And this is why this passage and the practice of the Jewish people is just so profound right here. You ever gotten in an argument with someone and they say this, you say this, they say that, you say this, and your argument is really, maybe it's not good, maybe you're repeating yourself, maybe you're just throwing out empty words, and a couple days later, you think of something really, really, really good to say that 5 days ago, that would have been a great thing to bring up. and like, why didn't I just do that then? But you know, a lawyer has got a different mindset. I would never want to be in an argument with a lawyer because they practice arguing all the time. It's what they do. They have trained their mind to tear everything apart. They listen. You could say the best thing ever. They will use it against you. I was on jury duty one time, and I was in this courtroom, and the two attorneys got up. There was the defendant over there, and I couldn't believe what I just saw. By the time the prosecuting attorney looked at the defendant, you know, he was just, this is what you're going to see, this is what this person did, and I was just, oh, that's, he's done, he's done. And then the defendant's attorney gets up and pleads the case. And at the end, I think I was teary-eyed. He couldn't have done it. It was probably, their arguments, I mean, just, they were just so trained in their mind. And, you know, I just think, you're bringing it back to here. If our minds were just so trained in a way that God was just always right at the front of what we were doing all the time. I mean, look at what we're saying, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. This is everything God is asking for. This is all or nothing. You know, it's the whole package here. It's you might refer to it as the whole nine yards, or the whole shebang, or the kit and the caboodle, the whole ball of wax, the whole enchilada. This is a fully loaded Big Mac with the sesame seed bun. This is everything but the kitchen sink. But in this prospect, you're probably going to want to include the kitchen sink as well. But it's everything right there. Let's go to the next verse there. And here's a few more passages in Deuteronomy. And just, you know, listen to what it has to say. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's from Deuteronomy 10:12. Go ahead and keep it going. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules, and you shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, do you see that? Those words don't keep coming up by mistake. Passage after passage after passage saying all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. You will train yourselves to walk in this way. You will teach your children to walk in this way. Hugely important. And these, you know, the Jewish people, and they would take this absolutely to heart. They would practice it. They would teach it to their children just as instructed. If you had a child and that child were to grow up in the ways of the Lord and walking in the Lord's footsteps, and everybody could see that, that was the best gift that you could give to your family. At that time, it was so, so very important. it was what they did. And, you know, if you had a child that wasn't walking in God's footsteps, not only, you know, was it destructive on them, it was a blemish on the family. And you know, today, maybe not quite to the same extreme, but you may look at children and, you know, it's the common perception, the question, the apple must not fall from the tree over there. Who are their parents? You know, things like that. But, you know, going back in this time period, that culture was even more so, a lot more so. And so if you have a child and you would raise them and they would walk and they would follow God in all their ways, that was the best thing that you could do for your family. It was just such an incredible gift, and everybody following God. And I just love how seriously they took this, not just as individual families, but as, you know, as the community as a whole, everybody doing this. Well, this will bring us a little bit into working our way into the Christmas segment here. Have you ever had a time in your life where, you know, you felt like you were doing this? You just felt like you were following God, and you knew that you were just very much in God's will, or at least you were pretty confident that you were anyway. Everything was going well. You felt like you were doing exactly what you were supposed to do. You were here, and the finish line that you were trying to get to with a goal was right here, and everything was on track to see this through, and all of a sudden, boom, you end up over here. Things just take a turn out of absolutely nowhere, and you're sitting there wondering what happened. But maybe this was a very, you know, it's a major event in your life, and everybody's looking like, whoa, what happened over there? What happened? What happened? And you're just so confused, and you're looking to God saying, what on earth just happened? Well, I guess we could all say, we're still in the midst of COVID, and during the whole shutdown, I know that was for many people like, what just happened? And just, I know this is everybody's going through this, but wow, what a change! But you know, it could be any change in your life. You can just think about that, or any just strange turn of event that you're sitting there watching and wondering what just happened. I mean, you think in terms of Job sitting there and following God and loving God, and all of a sudden disaster falls, and not just disaster, but disaster after disaster, everything, and it just doesn't stop coming. And it's, you know, the things that his family and his possessions and now physically himself, and everybody's wondering like, oh, Job, what did you do? I just curse God and die. What are you doing? And he's just sitting there, what is happening? Think of Joseph. And you know, this fellow just sitting there with his brothers and loving his dad and loving God, and all of a sudden, you know, his brothers sell him out. He ends up in this foreign land. He gets thrown in jail. It looks like he's just being left there to rot, and just, you know, time goes on and on and on and on, and he's, you know, maybe sitting there and wondering I don't know what this is about, but I'm still following God here. But this situation, this certainly is a kind of a disastrous situation here. And anybody else might look at that, but so often in those times, that's when we see in those stories that God is doing something absolutely significant, the things that other people just can't even understand. There was a picture that I saw being painted one time. It was actually of a great, incredible artist, and he was put to the challenge. Could he do a painting on a specific subject timed? And they knew this guy's skill, and they asked him, you know, they invited him to paint this picture live while the timer was going off. And I watched it, and it just seemed like he had such a short amount of time. I mean, literally every second would have had to have counted on this picture as he painted it. And he gets going, and I'm watching, and I'm looking for just any sign of the show up that he's painting the design that they've asked, and I can't see it. And I'm watching the time just go, and I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. And I start to feel uncomfortable for the guys. Like, I don't want to watch him fail in front of all these people. This is horrendous. And it gets down to like 15 seconds, and he's literally not even close. And he's just doing his thing, and 10 seconds, and 5 seconds, and 4, 3, 2. And the commentators are on there, you know, and they're thinking the same thing as me, like, this is going to be the end of him. And 2, 1, and right before that buzzer, he flipped the painting upside down, and there it was, perfectly painted. He had just done everything upside down. Nobody could tell what he was doing. Of course, everybody that was watching, they were forming an opinion like, oh, this guy's career is through over here. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. This guy's going down a few notches. And then, bam, right there. There it was. And you know, so often is the times that we're sitting there and we're just trying to comprehend what's happening in our life. What's happened over here in this person's life? And these may very well be the times that God is about to use you to work through you and just spring something on everybody. Something incredible is about to happen right here, which brings us to the Christmas story. Let's go ahead and look at the next verse here. I've got a few more from Deuteronomy. I forgot, we can't jump to Christmas yet. More Deuteronomy. But, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you, with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, there it is again. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandment and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn your head to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You see? Over and over again. How important must that be to have this repeated over and over and over again? That's got to be hammered right into us. All your heart, with all your soul, every decision, everything that we do. Go ahead. And now we're going to jump to the book of Mark real quick and look back on this, and one of the scribes has a conversation with Jesus. He says, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, which commandment is the most important of them all? Well, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment than these. And so there it is. We see it in Deuteronomy, and then Jesus sums it up again. Let's hit the next verse. Now, we're moving into Christmas time. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, that word, could you hit one slide back up? Greetings, O favored one. It's a good thing that was said to her right there, because I think that everything surrounding Mary is about to change, and many people may not think of her as the favored one, not when they see what's about to happen. Not when they see that she is carrying a baby and that she is not married. especially living in that time period, with everything that we have just discussed about how important it was to those people always and to be walking with God, to how important it was for their families. And this word, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, it's a great thing to have told her right from the start. Like, Mary, on earth, you know, things down here, things may be a little bit rough right now. People are probably going to be forming some opinions. People are probably going to look at you in certain ways. Things are going to be a bit rough, but you are a favored one, and the Lord is with you. Go ahead to the next one. She was greatly troubled at the saying, and was trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For there is nothing that is impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be me according to your will. And the angel... Now, we mentioned how important it was, again, for the children of these families to be following God. And here's a figure that we may not often think about. In fact, I don't think that they're mentioned in the Bible, in the Apocrypha, but the parents of Mary. And, you know, what exactly would have gone through Mary's mother's mind when Mary went home and, you know, broke this news to the family? Would they have immediately believed her? Would they have thought that she was making the story up? Were they concerned about the huge amount of shame that this could possibly bring upon their family? Of course, the great irony is that once Jesus was born, you know, it would change the world. But these people, you know, they might not have been seeing that, not at that time. And we've got a quick video clip for you that may just depict how that looked.
There is a silent partner that arrives with one's first child. Every mother is acquainted. Worry. When one is young, one prays. When one becomes a mother, one burns the midnight oil. You know what I speak of. My back. My hip. Gifts from my first child. Was such an easy child. And then she met this quiet carpenter. Nice enough young man. Though her father and I worried if he could provide. That soon became the least of our worries. She came to me quietly one morning talking of angels and God and trying to explain this child that she had conceived. Mind you, every Jewish girl's dream is to be chosen to give birth to the one. Yet
I could hardly bear to listen. It's one thing to conceive out of wedlock, but this story... How could she lie to her own mother? What have you done? What have you done? I said to her over and over, I screamed it. Words that haunt me every day. This is how I greeted the long-awaited savior of our people. But when I finally understood, when I finally believed, oh, an ecstasy spilled out of me. Had it been there this whole time, I was to be the grandmother of the Messiah. I don't know what I expected after that. Perhaps a more suitable birth plan for a king and his mother. What do I know? I know this. The very first thing I said to my sweet Mary was, "What have you done?" Such a useless question. What I should have said was, "Let's see what God can do."
Almost like speechless after that. And he's like, think of a, you know, what a miracle. And it's a whole angle that I had not thought of before. And just what a miracle God has done. And well, with that, let's pray. Father God, just thank you for just for everything that you have done. It just really is mind-blowing to sit there and to think about. And I just pray that we would keep in our hearts this reminder from Deuteronomy, and that we would just love you with our whole hearts and mind and soul, and that there is not a time that you would just be an afterthought, that you would just be there at the forefront of our thoughts with everything that we do, God. I just pray that just for me, for everyone in the room, that we would just keep you right there, Father God. We thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.